folks said that I would change my mind. I'd straighten up and do just fine. Ah, but I still love rock and roll. I keep on rolling with the flow.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. We'll respond accordingly. Bonesaw, if you keep this up, I'm going to institute a ban on the text line for you. And I'm just saying, don't push your luck with me here. Let's go to our next guest. Always a pleasure to bring on. He's running for governor here in Alabama. Tim James joins us on the line. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, top of the morning to you. Happy Friday.
Yeah, it's good somebody to be here.
Somebody says there's a governor's race coming to a head here in a couple of days.
Well, how you feeling about it? I mean, the things, the way they look, you are the lead dog of the contenders against Governor Ivey, and if you get in that runoff, a lot of people think it's anybody's ballgame.
Well, we're very happy and excited, Jeff, where we are in the race. And you're right. We feel that the momentum is with us. It's like on a wave. We're riding this wave that's growing bigger and bigger, and the trajectory is good. And, you know, it makes me feel good. It makes our campaign feel good that we have, I think, the messaging, the things we've talked about have resonated with the people of Alabama. And, I really think that a lot of it is the public really began to focus and tune into this race a week ago. And this is a referendum on Kay Ivey. It's really that simple. You know, what she's done, the decision she's made as governor. And either you're going to keep the same, or you're going to make a change. And I think we're headed for a major change in the direction of this state.
Tim, one of the things you've made as kind of a central focus of your campaign is the infrastructure. You did a press event down here in Mobile a couple of weeks ago. In case our listeners just aren't up to date on it, but I want you to talk more about this West Alabama corridor, because I don't think you're alone here in pointing this out. There's a lot of grumbling, especially among the legislature. The state's putting a lot of resources into a road that there's not going to be a federal matching component for, and there's not a lot of people that live out. What they want to do is 4 lane 43 from Thomasville, build a Linden bypass, and then move up toward Moundville and connect to 69 and Tuscaloosa. The road, I guess the hope here is if you build it, they will come, and there's no this sort of a blind faith approach.
Well, it's the biggest waste of taxpayer money in the Department of Transportation that I think I've ever seen or even heard of in my life. Now, let me explain it for your listeners. The idea of a West Alabama corridor from Birmingham, from Mobile, Tuscaloosa, using 43 and 69 is not, I mean, it sounds fine. The problem is they want to pay for it with 100% state dollars, so your state gas tax money. And what you're doing, though, if you put $800 million of the state money, you forego the federal matching portion. See, there's a ratio on federally approved jobs, 20% state dollars, and you get 80% federal dollars to match it with. Well, if you take $800 million on this project that has almost no traffic, and you use it up, and that's almost 1 year's total state gas tax revenue on one job. If you use $800 million up, you forego $2.5 billion in federal matching money. Now, Jeff, I'm not a mathematician, but what kind of dummy would trade $800 million for $2.5 billion? It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen or heard in my life. So, and at the same time, what could you do with the $2.5 billion? You could build two suspension bridges across the I-10 and lay them side by side with that money. That's how ridiculous it is. But there's another component to it that is revolting and offensive to Alabamians. They're up there condemning land taking people's homes on this corridor, using the police powers of the state of Alabama, the power of eminent domain, for a project that is unnecessary and makes no sense. Now, eminent domain should only be used in the rarest of circumstances where there are no other options. I mean, the state certainly has to have it, and they have to use it, but you use it wisely and sparingly. And there are people right now who are being kicked off or threatened to be removed from homes and that are operations. I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I can tell you one thing. I win this election, I will shut it down, lock, stock, and barrel. I will not watch $2.5 billion be ignored to build a project where there's no traffic. There's 5,000 to 10,000 cars a day, and on I-10 and going through the tunnel, you got 40,000 to 50,000. You got 100,000 on I-65 at Birmingham, I-20, I-565 in Huntsville, and all these corridors that are jammed up, and they need widening, and they need more lanes. It's terrible management of your public tax dollars in the Department of Transportation.
Well, tell me, if I'm not mistaken, you had the mayor, even the mayor of Linden up in Marengo County opposing this. You would think you would have maybe some support there for a big highway project or something like that, but the whole eminent domain issue seems to have really turned even some local officials against it.
Because it doesn't make sense. You just don't take people's property. You don't lose the police powers of eminent domain to condemn, take land, take people's homes against their will at any price. In other words, there are people, and I've talked to them, that said, I don't care what you pay me. I want to keep my home. You don't take their homes for a project that's unnecessary and unwise. And that's exactly what the KIV administration and her Department of Transportation, the director, has chosen to do, and it needs to be ended now.
Tim, let's talk about something that's close to our area this listening area. There's a few highway projects, and just kind of get you to react to them. Number one, obviously, the I-10 bridge. That's something that I think should have been considered a long time ago. There's the widening of 45. I don't know if it would be eligible for funds, but if U.S. Highway 45 is four lane all the way through Mississippi, Tennessee, and up into Kentucky. It just comes into this little two lane road when it crosses into Alabama. People have complained about that for years, safety wise, and we're at a standstill. It still seems on 98 getting that four lane. These roads, a lot of times when you talk to people down here, it looks like we are the red-headed stepchild in this state when it comes to ALDOT and considering road projects, that a lot of the resources go to Birmingham. Does that change under a James administration?
Yeah, because when you manage a department correctly, the money goes much farther. And, yes, I know 45 well, and I can rattle off two or three other projects that need completion. U.S. 82 from, for example, Tuscaloosa to Montgomery, yes, 98. 84 from the Mississippi line back to Groveville. All of these roads need to be widened, and you don't have to totally four lane them. A lot of times you go through stages where you widen them, and then you begin to add lanes on passing lanes like 231. You know, when there are 10 to 15,000 cars a day, there are things you can do over time and improve the performance of the highways until they get to a certain point. And then you go in and you begin to four lane them, undivided four lane highways and things like that. So there's a way to do it, and there's a way to do it smart. But you never go out ahead of something 30 years and say, we're going to throw all our money in something that may turn into a major highway, three decades down the road, and let these current roads, like what you just talked about, and including I-10, the people today where the loads are loaded up and you have safety issues and travel time, economic issues and everything else that goes with it.
Yeah, and a finishing touch on that question, the Baldwin County growing leaps and bounds. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about Huntsville, and Huntsville certainly is moving in a positive direction, no question about it. And with these, the Space Command and all that, and even more growth. But a lot of times Baldwin County doesn't get mentioned, and my concern is the state really looking at this and saying we need infrastructure improvements to be ready for the big population growth? Because you never hear it in the discussion, at least with this governor. You always hear about the north part of the state, and that I think has a lot of people, you know, kind of scratching their heads. Look, it's a tourist economy. A lot of these people don't live here, and I get that, but you still got the need whether they're from here or not.
Well, let me answer it. Let's talk about the I-10 while we're talking about roads and we're talking about South Alabama. Okay. So what everyone has experienced is what mismanagement of a DOT project looks like. If they had managed it properly, the I-10 bridge would be under construction and you would be looking at a completion in about a year and a half. This is what happened. The original cost to build that suspension bridge to across the bay was about $1 billion or a little less. Now, somehow or another, the price went from $1 billion to $2 billion, and that's because they decided they wanted to rip out the entire bayway and replace it and raise it up. I know for a fact that the bayway's got about 50 to 75 years of life on it. So what kind of knucklehead rips out a perfectly good bayway with 50 plus years of life on it, only to raise it? And then when I heard they were going to raise it, I said, why are they going to do that? And they said, well, we need to raise it because of greenhouse, water rising. Well, if you raise the bayway 8 feet to what they were talking about, the entire Mobile is underwater anyway. So it's so crazy, it makes no sense. The bayway should be left intact, and you add the lanes, you add additional lanes over time as is needed. Now, half the traffic on I-10 that go through the tunnels is out of state. You can let the out-of-staters basically pay for a new bridge across the bay. What I would have done, and actually I offered my thoughts and no one wanted to listen to them, it was very simple. The first thing I would have questioned, how many out-of-staters are using the tunnel on I-10? 50% of them. Let them pay a toll and leave the tunnels open. And they will pay for about 85% of it right off the bat and maybe have a discount of about a special card for people that use it every day, which are Alabamians, may cost them a quarter to use it. And do what they do in Florida is let the tourists, let people passing through the state pay the toll, about $3, $3.25, not $6. And we would have built the suspension bridge across the bay. And it would be underway, and then you will widen the lanes on the bayway over time as needed, and that's how you do it. That's how normal folks do it. But they wanted to run the ticket on this thing up from $1 billion to $2 billion. You blew it out of the water. You're talking about tolling the tunnels, which are insane. We're not going to do that. The tunnels will stay free. Let out-of-staters pay the toll or 85-87% of it. And build the bridge and be done with it. And yet we're sitting here and you got $60 million in the project right now, compliments of the Department of Transportation leadership, and you have nothing to show for it.
Last question. Let's switch gears real quick. The prison situation in the state, I'm sure you're well aware, and your father dealt with it when first time around when he was governor, inherited just a mess from George Wallace. But, you know, you stand to inherit kind of if you are elected governor, you stand to inherit a potentially a troublesome situation. It's the federal courts, it's the DOJ Act, even though the prison construction is underway. Kind of give us a quick 2-minute assessment of what you think about the prison situation.
Well, so it's hard to know exactly the details of the prison deal because you can't get your hands on it. They were so close-mouthed about the whole process. It's better than it was, from what I understand. The bottom line of prisons is this. You do have to build prisons from time to time, unfortunately. The long-term fix is to reduce recidivism. Number one, 65% of prison inmates wind up right back in prison. So if you can bring the recidivism down from, say, 65% to 45%, that is a tremendous savings in money, because it costs about $25,000 to incarcerate an individual in our prisons. How do you do that? Outreach, Christian outreach programs work. Chuck Colson proved it. I want a massive faith-based outreach program in all of our prisons in the years ahead, and we can reduce recidivism. That's number one. Number two, education. Third graders that are scoring in their reading and math at third grade level when they leave the third grade do not go to prison. There's a direct correlation between third grade scores and prison. So we have to improve our education at the foundation years, K-1-2-3, and you're gonna slow the tide of people winding up in jail, and then we have to decrease recidivism with outreach programs, and that's how it starts. There's no easy fix. And then if they're running our prison system as efficiently as they're running our Department of Transportation, I can assure you, Jeff, that it's sloppy as a bunch of pigs lying around in a mud parlor. And a little management probably will go a long way on the financial end.
Hey, Tim, real quick, folks want to find out more about your campaign. Tell where they can look.
Jeff, thank you. TimJamesGovernor.com. I'd like to ask every listener listening to me today on Jeff's show, I want to ask for your vote. And more importantly, I want to ask you to turn out. Turn out is a big deal. I want to ask you to get 10 people and get them to the polls. This is a primary, and primaries are about turnout. And I don't make a lot of promises, but I can promise you, if you elect me governor of Alabama, I will run this state. It will serve the people. I will protect your children. I will protect your children's children, and we will get this state back on track and as it should be. So thank you very much, and it was good to be on the show today.
Hey, thanks for taking time. Tim James, ladies and gentlemen, running for governor. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Daddy.